T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Time for the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Florida's most in-depth coverage of high school sports.
Sponsored by UHealth, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute's physicians deliver the precision of academic medicine to every pro, adult, and youth athlete. For your best recovery, go with pro-level expert care. Recover your game at UHealthSports.com.
Yes, sir. Welcome to our Monday, 6 o'clock, right up until 8 o'clock. This is our regular spot, not our permanent spot, but during the Heat and Panther season, we will be with you sporadically on a Monday. But yes, let's grab for all we can on this Monday evening up until 8 o'clock. Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris will take you. And yeah, a lot going on everywhere. High school, college, obviously NFL, not a lot to be happy about if you were a local fan of the weekend. Florida gets rid of the coach and they are the only school to win. How about that? Oh, USF too. And I can't even use them as just an add-on because they're nationally rated. But they have their big game coming up this week. And they get by this week against Memphis. There's a good shot that USF will be a playoff team. But I think that's all contingent on Miami continuing to win. Didn't look so well. They lost, but they lost late in the game. And five interceptions. So, not great if you're a University of Miami football fan. But nevertheless, a lot of other things going on around our recruiting high school football in the last 2 weeks now of the regular season. Great games going on as far as that is concerned. So we will see what happens. Playoff spot. And then obviously recruiting. And it all depends what happens in Gainesville and Tallahassee. How recruiting will play out. Because obviously Florida will be getting a new head coach. And I don't care who they get. I mean, I know everyone, let's get, you know, Kiffin. Yeah, still going to be lagged. There's still going to be a year or two lag. So you don't just come in there and just completely turn it around, because there's going to be a lot of kids that maybe are recruited that the new head coach doesn't want, or the new head coach may not get. And that's where a lot of the recruiters will come into Gainesville and say, hey, listen, they got a pretty decent class for 2026. Let's see if we could pry a couple of them loose. Florida State's not in any great shakes either after beating Alabama and looking pretty good early. They have not looked good. Lost on the coast to the same Stanford team that will be here on Friday. So let's get ready. Let's get
Saturday.
Ready for the – what happened?
They play on Saturday.
Oh, Saturday. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm so hooked up on the Friday games. But they play on Saturday. But I'm just saying, let's get ready now for all those people saying, wait a minute. Miami's going to have a tough game on Saturday against Stanford. Here's the reasons why. So we'll hear all week. And then Coach Cristobal will get on there and go, hey, listen, we can't take this team lightly. They beat Florida State. And so here we go. And I said this after the Bethune game, there would not be an easy game on the schedule. And there really hasn't. They haven't blown anybody out. USF, maybe. That was late. Florida, kind of a closer game. FSU definitely turned out to be a close game. Then they had the week, the unusual week off play. But now no excuses. They go full go right to the end of the season. As far as that's concerned, FIU, we'll be talking to Kevin Burrell and talk a little bit about FIU football in just a little while. And they play tomorrow night. Tuesday night football. They come off a big win as well. But right now, everything is going to be bent around recruiting. And we're going to see what's going to go on because there's a lot of kids making their decisions. Miami's had their really, really marquee home games where they've had all their – God, can you believe that they've played, what, five home games? Jesus. And they play eight. This year, that's Ohio State stuff. That's not Miami. You know, Miami doesn't usually get eight home games. But yeah, it's all about recruiting now, and it's in a lot of colleges. I saw over the last week or so at some of the high school games where the colleges were on hand to watch the games, and they got to be seen. GMAC had their championship games on Friday and Saturday. Central beat Southridge on Saturday. We were there. Colleges were there as well. And on Friday night, Northwestern beat Palmetto. But now it's all about what's going to happen over the next couple of weeks. District games will be on, display. A lot of things going on. As far as that's concerned, there are a lot of changes going on as well. This is when high school football becomes interesting, because you have a lot of the high school district championship games, which means, especially in a couple of districts where two, three schools will make the playoffs. But all the winning the district does is ensure that you'll have a home game. Right off the bat, most likely. So you could have a 9-1 record, and the only loss could be in a district game, and then you're on the road, even with a 9-1 record. But it's going to be pretty interesting to see what's going to go on as far as recruiting is concerned over the next couple of weeks. Because now, especially with the firings and with the replacement of these coaches, a lot of these schools have recruits that are up in the air. Most of them did pick the respective schools because of the fact that they wanted to play for the coaches. Now, if the coaches aren't there, they're going to have to reevaluate who they bring in, and that's part of the recruiting process. It's kind of an interesting deal to try to figure out. But nevertheless, it's got to be done. And but like I said, for these college teams who have waited the entire offseason to make a playoff spot, you know, some schools are rising to the occasion. Give credit to Georgia Tech. They've got an opportunity to be in the ACC title game. Unbelievable as it may seem. Also, you look at Indiana, you look at Vanderbilt as well. Vanderbilt's best record in 60 years. So the NIL and mostly the portal is paying off now for these programs. This is a time of year where you know, back in January, February, March, and in April, you say, okay, well, we're getting this kid through the portal because he's going to shore up our secondary or quarterback or whatever it is. And people are so highly critical when a team loses. I mean, you're going to lose. I don't think there's going to be an undefeated team. I really don't. Somebody's going to slip up along the way because you have a long way to go. And so you're in a situation where, you know, you get better because you use that portal, but it doesn't guarantee anything. FSU used the portal, and all of a sudden, see, that's a mind boggler. You come out, and they didn't just beat Alabama. They crushed them in every phase. So that's the thing to me that kind of like signals, holy mackerel. You know, I mean, now Alabama appears to be one of the better teams in the country. And yeah, that's interesting. Interesting to say the least. And you never know. You never know what goes on as far as that's concerned. And like I said, we'll have definitely a look over the next couple of weeks at the playoff picture in high school. And that's important too, because locally from the Keys up to the Palm Beaches, where everybody's listening to us on 104.3 or 104.3. I always thought it was point. getting a chance to see some really good football. And, you know, like Saturday night was a perfect example of that at Traz Powell Stadium. You got Miami Southridge roars out to a 20-0 lead on Miami Central, and then Central comes back and then ends up winning the game. And it just shows you how much talent and how much parity amongst some of the top teams, you know, in the area. I mean, and tomorrow when the local rankings come out, I mean, you're going to see St. Thomas, obviously, and Northwestern and Chaminade and Central up top. And the great thing about high school football is because even the powers, like a St. Thomas's final two games of the season will be against defending 4A state champion American Heritage and defending 1A state champion Chaminade. So the days of, of all that are kind of over, you know, of just playing just anybody. And, the days of just, you know, ending the season with just a cupcake, as they would say, you know, are almost beneficial for the team to go into the playoffs. With an opportunity to, be tested, because you don't want to end your season against like 3-4 teams with losing records and then have to play, you know, a team that worked hard to get into the playoffs. Chaminade's in the same situation. They'll play Cardinal Gibbons this week and then end up against St. Thomas on the final week of the season, which should be a pretty good game. St. Thomas lost that game to them last year. If you remember, that game was played at FIU. And then you have teams that kind of have been big surprises this year, like Dillard, 8-0. You should finish at 10-0. And then let's see what happens in the playoffs, because they're going to have to play, like I said, teams that have used the latter part of their season just to make it into the playoffs. So they've worked hard. Nothing's going to be really a surprise to them. And then you have teams that, like Christopher Columbus, that is not used to being 3-6. But here's the thing. Up until losing to New Orleans in the GMAC game last week, the Explorers had won 3 in a row. So if they get into the playoffs, 4-6, 3-7, they're still dangerous because they've been there. They've been in that state championship mix for a number of years. So they, you know, so even though they have a losing record, you got to be leery of teams like that, that are well coached and that, you know, anything could happen. Ball bounces differently. But South Florida is going to have a lot of representation this year. Do we come out on top like we did the last year with winning 6 of 8 classes? Going to be tough. We know Sean and I are kind of holding things down in 1A, and obviously in 3A it'll be either Central or Northwestern. 4A is going to be tough. American Heritage is not playing the way they did in winning a state title last year, and there are really good classic 4A teams around the state. So pretty interesting. You know, 5A is going to be kind of tough. St. Thomas is the favorite. They've won 6 straight, but you still have Delray Atlantic here. And then up top, you still have Lakeland. You have Orlando. Edgewater's played extremely well, you know. So you never know what goes on, especially come playoff time. We have a really good show this evening. Like I said, we kind of run around the gamut a little bit. About 7:50, we're going to have 4 guests in the second hour this evening. Coach Miles Russ, the head coach at Kaiser University. They're number 2 in the country. They're undefeated. He'll join us. Head coach Derek Gibson from Miami Central will talk about his team as they come off a big win on Saturday evening. He'll join us around 7:35. At around 7:25, Coach Darryl Strong, his Plantation Colonels are back in the race. Big win over Archbishop McCarthy, so they're back in it. Most likely that entire district with McCarthy, Plantation, Heritage, and Norland will all make the playoffs. About 7:05, we'll talk University of Miami football. Our good friend Alex Donnell will drop by from Locked On Canes. As I mentioned before, we'll talk University or FIU football. Kevin Burrell will join us in just a few minutes. And then we'll talk about what's happening in Gainesville. Kevin Brockway from the Gainesville Sun will also check in. We'll talk about who's next. Who's the next head coach? University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, talk a little bit of University of Florida football. What's the future up in Gainesville? Kevin Brockway is next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Let's get back to South Florida high school sports on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsports.com.
Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris, we take you up until 8 o'clock this evening. This is our, I like this. Trevor, I thought 7 to 9 wasn't bad. It was a nice little thing because, you know, 6 to 8, people are just getting home. But we get a good listenership, but a lot of the coaches and players are still practicing. But nevertheless, we are here with you this evening. But there's a lot more going on in football as we get further and deeper into the season. A lot of different things happen. Coaching changes is priority, especially when it happens in your own state. The epicenter. I mean, this has been talked about since before last year up in Gainesville. And, you know, they finally made a coaching change. Well, they haven't made a coaching change. They said goodbye to their former head coach. But you know what? You get in a situation where, as we're going to bring in our next guest, Kevin Brockway, in just a minute or so, you get in a situation where there are things that are deeper than you see on the surface. I mean, especially at the University of Florida, it's a high-profile program, you know, a program that draws, makes money. But at the same time, there's a lot of demands from the boosters. And if they see, you know, if they start comparing apples to oranges and looking at programs like Auburn and Alabama and look at Oklahoma, they just got in and they're doing well. To what they have at Florida, especially, as I said, I mean, you doesn't matter who you're playing. That to me is a mark of a college football program, that you come and support your team, and they do as well as anybody in the country. As you see, you know, I mean, you play a Long Island University in the first game and still have as many people as you do for Texas. So that's a program that obviously, you know, wants the best of the best. And right now they're, you know, ride the rest of the way of the season with an interim coach, Billy Gonzalez, who we know from years and years. But certainly anybody that knows the underlying factors in Gainesville and the University of Florida is Kevin Brockway from the Gainesville Sun. He is kind enough to join us this evening after a kind of a putting in a lot of hours weekend with his newspaper, with his website. Kevin, thanks so much for taking the time. And obviously you're in the epicenter of the news, but it kind of, you know, kind of rippled throughout the entire country. Everybody knew sooner or later they would make a coaching change. And here they are making the coaching change in the first part of the season. Welcome aboard, and certainly you've had your ear to the grindstone. Not a surprise to you, but certainly, you know, anytime they make a move, it's big news.
I think there were rumblings, Larry, after the Texas A&M loss that this was inevitable. And even though they beat Mississippi State, I mean, how they beat them and the fact that they had to hold on for dear life against a school that had, lost 14 straight SEC games coming in. You're a 9.5-point favorite. You win 23-21. It just was, and, you know, fans are chanting Fire Billy when they get the ball back in the closing seconds, you know, potentially driving for a game-winning field goal before the interception. I think it was, you know, the atmosphere gotten a little too toxic. And, you know, you have the open week, you give Billy Gonzalez and the rest of the staff a chance to kind of recalibrate a little here and try to finish the season strong. I mean, Scott Strickland said today he feels like Florida has the talent to compete with anyone in the country. And, you know, they faced four straight top 10 teams. They went 1-3. But they were in a lot of those games, too. So we'll see how that bodes for the second half of the season.
And you know as well as I do, I mean, there's a lot of booster influence in this. Well, probably in a lot of programs, mostly everyone that makes money. But, you know, sometimes they have a say-so, and people kind of listen to what they say. And like I said, you know, in bringing you in, you know, I mean, you look across the country and here's Oklahoma, who just joined the damn conference in the last couple of years. And here's Vanderbilt, who hasn't had a top 10 ranking since way before I was born, which is a long time ago. And they see that and they say, wait a minute, this is not the way it's supposed to be. I mean, we're Florida. I mean, we've got great resources. We've got tremendous facilities. We've got top-notch coaches and administrators. And then you say to yourself, this shouldn't be like this. And then you figure, we got to make a change. And I know a lot of people, even though they wanted Billy gone, you're replacing him with the same people that were there. I mean, really. And I'm sure down the stretch, he probably, you know, you and I were talking yesterday, you know, about play calling. And I'm sure – you know, that obviously he's not around to do the play calling, but does it really, the personnel's there. They were without three starting defensive backs the other day and still won. Does it change that much, Kevin?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting because the one thing you bring up is the play calling and something that, you know, Billy Napier was probably as much of anything a victim of his own hubris, you know, not giving that up. And Scott Strickland even admitted that in the news conference today. You know, and Scott also refuted a little bit of the booster influence, so I don't know, you know, who you're going to believe there, but he tried to make it seem like it's his call, and it's going to be his call to make the next coach. But as far as this team looking different, you know, they have the open week, a chance to do things. Ryan O'Hara is going to call the plays, the quarterback's coach, which is interesting. And, you know, Billy Gonzalez talked a lot about, you know, the green dot and the communication inside the helmet, and how that's kind of changed things as well in terms of that level of communication. But he talked a lot about, you know, maybe getting some of their players more in space to create plays. But you only have a week to do it, right? So, I mean, I think it's going to be pretty hard if you're going to try to revamp too much. And listen, Vernell Brown, too, that's another injury, right? The third, you know, he suffered a sprained shoulder at the end of that game. I mean, who knows if he's going to be available for the Georgia game as well. And all those defensive backs that have been hurt. I think it's a pretty beat-up team going into the second half of the season, to your point, and we'll see, you know, when the availability reports come out, if anyone has healed over the open week. But it's going to be hard in terms of, you know, navigating the backstretch of the schedule because you've got Ole Miss and Georgia there, you know, and a road game against Kentucky, which is, you know, Florida has recently struggled on the road there, too.
Yeah. You know, I mean – just to play the devil's advocate, I mean, Billy felt enough to have Gonzalez around and obviously listen to, you know, his input, you know, which he had. That's what baffles people now. It's not like making a change right now is going to really make that much of a difference because everybody, you know, especially during the tough times, I'm sure that anybody had anything sage to say because they were all looking for their, you know, out for their own jobs too. So they're not going to hold anything back, you know, figuring, oh, well, maybe I won't tell them this or that. I'm sure they told them everything. It's just now, as you said, it comes down to a situation where your depth is taking a beating. So that's not going to help, especially with a couple of really good programs coming up. You know, they say change sometimes is good, but in this case now, you, as you said, you've got a week to get familiar. The terminology doesn't change. For the most part, the depth chart doesn't change. The role of the coaches may change in maybe one or two, but I'm just looking at this from And, you know, obviously, if you have to make a change, you have to. And I understand. It's not like somebody's 0-6 like UCLA was 0-5 and losing to UNLV and losing to New Mexico. I mean, Florida didn't lose really to anybody that they shouldn't have lost to. I mean, to tell you the truth, I mean, they LSU, obviously, Miami, they were, like you said, they were both in close games. Maybe that could be a rallying point for Billy and the rest of the coaching staff says, wait a minute. You know, we haven't been out of any games. Wait a minute. Hold on. I mean, it's not like we're getting blown out. Obviously, A&M, but A&M does that to a lot of people. But now the rest of the way, and they look back at last year's Georgia game where they could have easily won that game as well. Maybe this could be a little bit of a shot in the arm for a rallying point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, possible, you know, Larry, and I will dispute with you on I still think, look, USF is having a nice season, but it's still a Group of Five program. Yeah. 17.5-point favorites. I mean, that one is the loss that's going to go down. I mean, I did the five worst losses under Billy Napier, and that was on it. Yeah, and you saw what Miami did to USF the following week, too. I mean, they beat them by 30. So I do think that being said, yeah, no, the rallying cry as far as, you know, this team is right now, it's, you know, just kind of playing for the patch, playing for the front of the jersey, representing the school. A big rivalry game that you haven't won since, what, 2020? Yeah. And you've only beaten them twice in probably the last 8 or 9 years. So, I mean, I think that certainly, you know, Billy Gonzalez, you know, talked about obviously Urban Meyer, who first brought him here, and Urban's influence. And Urban always, you know, made a big deal about that rivalry and about rivalry games, and perhaps Billy can draw from that too. So I think there's a lot that you can kind of draw from in that scenario, just coming off the open week and hoping that, you know, things can make a turn and you could, you know, finish off strong and maybe make a bowl game. But it's going to be hard, man, because George is just, you know, Kirby Smart just reloads there. And, you know, what they did in coming back to beat, they've looked a little more vulnerable this year, but coming back to beat, you know, Ole Miss the way they did in the fourth quarter was certainly impressive.
Yeah, no doubt. I know you're going to be writing a lot of stuff over the next couple of weeks. Speculation. I know you and I talk. Lane Kiffin's a big name. Anybody else that you would think, just in case Ole Miss says, hey, you know what, here's that blank check. You fill it out, and you could stay here forever. If that happens and Lane doesn't come to Gainesville, who would you think that could be on high on that list?
I'll give you a dark horse name and a guy that your listeners are familiar with when he was the offensive coordinator at Miami's, Rhett Lashley at SMU. And okay. Obviously just beat Clemson, and they've got a big game coming up with Miami in a few weeks, and was a guy that led SMU to the college football playoff. He runs a spread offense, which I think the spread has always been very effective in the state of Florida because it takes advantage of player speed. Younger guy, kind of fits that profile of what Florida likes. So if Lane says no, he could be a possible guy in terms of a guy that maybe that they may have interest in. And also Eli Drinkwitz is another guy. I think that's a plausible possibility as well. But, you know, in terms of, you know, maybe Marcus Freeman or James Franklin, maybe you try to, you know, kick the tires on those two guys too and see if that's a possibility. But, there'll be no shortage of names out there. And Scott Strickland said that it's going to be a comprehensive process. So we'll see how it works out.
Sure. And they got the year, you know, obviously, see how things play out. Kevin, I appreciate you as always. Let everybody know how they can follow you. Give them some social media contacts as well as your website.
Yeah, Gainesville.com, Gatorsports.com, and at Kevin Rockway G1 on X. Pleasure to be on with you guys.
You too. We'll talk soon. Thanks so much. Kevin Brockway, Gainesville Sun. Tremendous insight. Yeah, you never know who's going to be the job. But we do know who the head coach is at FIU. And coming off a huge win and playing tomorrow night on a Tuesday night against Kennesaw. Kevin Burrell covers FIU like nobody else. He's kind enough to join us this evening. Kevin, thanks so much for taking the time. And boy, did they need that win last week.
Most certainly they needed that. Appreciate you for having me on, Larry.
Yeah, this is no matter who you talk to, because I get a chance to, you know, talk to a lot of parents of kids that go there and a lot of players that do go there, and they've really had nothing but great things to say about this season. Obviously, it's the first season. The UConn game kind of stung a little bit. I think that not that they lost, but by the margin that they did lose. But coming back and beating Western Kentucky last week was huge on the road. And now they get to play at home on a Tuesday night, which is kind of strange. How does the student body rally around a Tuesday night game?
It's weird. I think the big plus, I guess, for the quote-unquote student body is that it's only one Tuesday night game at home this year compared to last year where you had a couple of those. But this one is the Vice game for FIU, so they're going to be rocking those viral Vice uniforms that they release a new one every year. This is the third edition of it, so they'll be rocking those, the neon version of it. I'm curious to see what the turnout looks like. I'm hearing some Lambo's going to be out there, so we'll see. They're bringing in everything possible to get the students out here. And, I mean, I think Willie said it best. I mean, you're coming off a huge win against Western Kentucky, who was at the top of the conference going into that game. And now FIU has to face the top team in the conference again just by standings, Kennesaw State. So should be a good game. I'm really excited for it. I think there's a lot to be excited about with FIU, especially after a win like that one. And all of a sudden they're looking at themselves in the potential Conference USA championship.
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, how quickly things turn around, and I'm sure that's a testament to the coaches. And obviously Willie, who's been there, done that before. What have you liked about this team so far, Kevin?
Well, I think the biggest thing to look at is just the run game, right? I mean, last year FIU was one of the worst teams running the ball. They had three guys, just weren't able to do it, didn't get it going at all. This year, FIU is able to bring back Keyshawn Owens, the Miami Central guy, brings in Anthony Carey from the transfer portal. You keep Devontae Lyons, the guy from St. Augustine, and you bring in some more depth behind them. But overall, I mean, Keyshawn Owens has been arguably the best player on this FIU team, 195 rushing yards in his last game against Western Kentucky. He's over 600 yards on the season, which is a career high for him. And FIU's offensive line, certainly night and day a lot better. Not that last year's was bad by any means, but certainly this offensive line has certainly opened more gaps for Owens to make a lot more happen. And, you know, last year when he had such a good pass game, it isn't the same case this year. FIU's going to run the ball, and they showed it last week against Western Kentucky. I mean, 22 carries for Owens. Carey had a lot of carries as well, so FIU is running the ball down teams' throats and exposing, you know, Western Kentucky, who historically has struggled to stop the run. And then on the flip side, on defense, FIU has a lot of young freshmen that are really making an impact. I mean, Josiah McGrew at safety, who was named Conference USA Defensive Player of the Week. And then you have Mr. Clark, who's a younger guy. He's a redshirt sophomore. He's currently, I think, third or fourth in country and passes defended. So he's been a huge piece of that. Josiah Taylor's really stepped up to that starting role when Percy Courtney went down. So a lot of names making a lot of things happen. And then on the top of that, FIU is stopping the run, something they struggled to do last season. They had one of the worst rushing defenses in the conference, and they flipped the script this year, and now they're second in the conference in rush defense. So a lot that went wrong last year for this Panthers team certainly looking different in 2025.
Yeah, and you bring up McGrew, who obviously is a young kid, but that whole secondary got a lot better. I mean, you know, Brian Blades and Mr. Clark from Carroll City, who did pretty well, and Shamir Sterling. So that's probably a phase of that team, along with what you said about up front, obviously having somebody like Keegan Davis back, I believe, for his fifth year, having an opportunity to not only have experience but be a leader along with Quaylen Hill. The defense does look a lot better. I mean, and like you say, limiting a team like Western Kentucky on their turf to a single score, I mean, that's obviously that's something positive. Then you're getting an opportunity, as you said, offensively. And, certainly Keon Jenkins is somebody who is a great leader. But having Keyshawn Owens, and when I saw that, I watched part of the game, and I mean, he not only just took off, he took off. I mean, he showed a lot of the great things that he did in high school, obviously. And the offensive line has come around. I know that was kind of a question at the beginning of the year. They did have a few, returning stars, but that's a part of the game that I think that has really kind of stepped up as well. Talk about that.
Yes, exactly. The O-line, I mean, you bring back Julius Pierce, who was at Middle Tennessee for a bit. You bring in a transfer from the University of Miami with Tripp. Then you bring, you know, Sedano and the spring portal along with Zaire Flournoy, UAB transfer. And you have your guys, you know, you had Jaleel Davis who was on this team last year, Daniel Michelle. So they've got guys, and Jaheim Buchanan, who was on the team as well, was an all-conference freshman at one point. So, you know, you have a good mix of returners, and I would even include Pierce into that, because given he was at FIU at one point before entering the portal the first time. So I like that mix, and I think this O-line compared to last year has really given the run game a big opportunity to make that happen. You know, I mean, last year's rush offense was just one of the worst, not even in conference USA, just, you know, in the country, and they really didn't get much going there. And, you know, that was with, you know, Keyshawn, you had Flex Joseph, Lexington Joseph, and then you had Shamari Lawrence, you know, three guys who many believed were starters on that team and many other teams, and unfortunately just never got it going. So it's completely been a different, you know, kind of flip the script type of season, you know, in that sense. So that's been huge. And I think it starts up front, and Willie made it very clear that one of the things he was going to focus on getting when he got here was beefing up his offensive line, beefing up the defensive line, and making sure that you're going to win up front. And if you're going to lose, it's going to be for another reason, but not because of what happens in the trenches.
No doubt. And the recruiting has picked up quite a bit. I saw a bunch of the coaches out there the other night at the Central South Ridge game. Obviously, Jaden Ford, the running back, is one of their prize recruits. And certainly Noah Sedan, the kicker from Chaminade Madonna, who is certainly one of the best in the country. So they're picking up good on the recruiting trail, and everything is good. And tomorrow night, try to get out there, guys. It could be a really good game. Nothing going on a Tuesday night. Perfect for you to head out there and root on the Panthers to get over the 500 mark and go 4-3. Kevin, I can't thank you enough. Let everybody know where they can find you, because you're at a bunch of things.
Yeah, thank you so much, Larry. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Kevin_Baral with two R's. And you can find all my stuff there. I'm on Fish on First. You could also follow my work on my Substack, which there should be a link in there when you scroll on Twitter. So, yeah, appreciate you so much for having me, Larry. And, yeah, got to come out to Vice Night. It's going to be a huge one. So FIU currently, you know, 3-3 on the season, could potentially match their winning last year's win total with a big win tomorrow night.
That'd be awesome. We'll hope they pack it. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. Kevin Baral covers FIU like nobody else, I'm telling you. He does a great job. Does a great job with the Marlins as well. Got to follow him as well. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute expert. They treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Now visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we will wrap up hour number one. Don't go away. We got four big guests in hour two.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Time for more of the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute.
Back to wrap things up in hour number one. Glad you could be with us on a Monday. We're here with you up until 8 o'clock. Larry Bluestein and Trevor Harris still coming up in the next hour. Please do not leave us because we have some really good guests. We'll talk University of Miami football. Alex Dono is coming up right at 7:05. And then right after him, we'll talk Plantation High School football with Coach Darryl Strong, who's got a big game this week, big district game against Miami Norland in a district that's kind of like pretty competitive. All four teams in there have won a district game. Plantation coming up with a huge win last week against Archbishop McCarthy. We'll talk to head coach Derek Gibson, Miami Central, first year there. He's 7-1, definitely looking towards a rematch game, probably week two of the playoffs against Miami Northwestern. And then we'll end things up with a look at Kaiser University head coach Miles Russ. So that'll wrap up hour number one. Don't forget, we're coming back until 8 o'clock this evening. Glad you could be with us, and we'll see you real soon.
Time for the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Florida's most in-depth coverage of high school sports.
Sponsored by UHealth, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute's physicians deliver the precision of academic medicine to every pro, adult, and youth athlete. For your best recovery, go with pro-level expert care. Recover your game at UHealthSports.com.
Welcome back to hour number two. Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris taking you up until 8 o'clock. Glad you could be with us on a Monday evening. Love these Mondays, but, you know, like I said, we'll go anywhere they tell us to go, except 10:30 on the West Coast. But nevertheless, our second hour will be interesting. We'll talk a little college football. Coach Miles Russ, head coach at Kaiser University, undefeated, number two in the country. He'll join us. Derek Gibson, head coach at Miami Central, will join us as well. And then we'll talk Plantation Colonel football with Darryl Strong. Got a big game this week against Norland in a district game. But we open up hour number two talking University of Miami football and nobody else to do it any better than from Locked On Canes, our friend Alex Dono. Alex, thanks so much for taking the time on a Monday evening. And I know as an alumnus and as a fan, this is about the day you're just getting over last Friday.
Yeah, you're right, Blue. In fact, I just finished watching the game for a second time, you know, fast forwarding through the commercials and through, you know, halftime and stuff. And I'm still kind of amazed, especially after watching it a second time, that despite how poorly Miami played, like outside of a handful of plays, how poorly Miami played, and it still came down to a potential game-winning drive. And, you know, Carson Beck threw four interceptions that counted, had actually a fifth that was taken off the board here with kind of a, I will accept the gift is what I was thinking at the time. Yeah. Not the best roughing the passer call. But like the first three interceptions weren't enough to kill Miami. It was the fourth interception. So, you know, I guess you could look at it both ways, glass half empty or glass half full. You know, glass half empty is Miami really didn't play that well. You know, the running game never got going, which is kind of a surprising thing. Given the offensive line and the talented running backs, they only rushed for 63 yards on 2.6 yards per carry. You know, the defense settled down for the most part. Obviously, had a lot of errors first two drives for Louisville, but overall there were a lot of poor gap integrity, a lot of bad tackling angles, miscommunications, and you know, despite all that, it was still, you know, a really close game against a talented Louisville football team. And I'm not sugarcoating it. Like, I'm still, you know, I'm hoping this doesn't become a trend, Blue. But all this to say, I think Miami is capable of playing a lot better than they did on Friday night. So we have to see them bounce back for the final six games of the regular season schedule.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. I mean, obviously, you're going to expect it out of Louisville being an offensive mind, and they got a great coach who knows how to, you know, kind of penetrate defenses. So you're going to take that. But I thought where Miami kind of lacked is they didn't execute well on offense. They haven't run the ball well lately. And, you know, that is what they're predicated on, their success of balancing things off about. Stanford, obviously, I mean, we're not taking anybody lightly. It's another ACC game. It's a must win. Obviously, it's a Saturday night. It's a 7 o'clock game. But obviously, Miami's got to come out with a little bit more, you know, a little bit more push as far as the balance on offense. They got to run the ball. They got to go well into the 150s in the running game this week. And I don't care, you know, who it's against. They can't worry who they're playing. They just got to worry about themselves.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one could even argue, and I don't think this is really in Mario Cristobal's DNA. I think he just wants to go out there and execute and win. But, like, one could even argue that the style points start to matter more now. I mean, since, you know, Miami no longer controls their own destiny to win the ACC, that maybe you're thinking, hey, if at large is a possible route here, we need to be blowing teams out, right? I mean, if there's an opportunity to blow Stanford out, you take it. But you know, at the same time, that's not really the way Cristobal operates. He wants to execute cleanly. He wants to win. And I respect that. So what I really look for in this game, Blue, coming off the performance that Miami had against Louisville, you hit the nail on the head when you talk about the running game. They need to reestablish that this week. I think objective number one is to really set the tone to try to rush for, you know, 100 plus yards, hopefully 150 yard in that range, get multiple running backs involved, get Jordan Lyle back into rhythm. You know, he just recently, you know, returned from injury, and things have just looked a little discombobulated when he gets into the game. And I know Lyle's an incredible back. They just got to find a way to get him into a more of a rhythm and maybe run outside the tackles a little bit more. You know, you certainly in a game like this, you want to see Carson Beck get his mojo back. You know, you don't want four interceptions to kind of be in his head and be in the back of his mind. So for him to come out and play a clean game, I think is really important. Like, even if Miami leans more on their running game in this one, for Beck to go out there, avoid the turnover bug, move the chains consistently, I think is big. And then the other thing, Blue, I hadn't mentioned this yet, part of why that game was so sloppy for Miami this last Friday night were all the penalties. A lot of just really shocking pre-snap procedural penalties on the offensive line. Again, it wasn't a great game for the offensive line, period. They did protect Carson Beck pretty well, but the running game never got going, and a lot of costly penalties from the O-line. So cleaning up the penalties is really important, right? Because they had a couple of sloppy penalty games over the first five where it didn't cost them a victory, but penalties were a big reason why you didn't beat Louisville. So it's starting to cost you big time now. So I want to see a clean game for Beck. I want to see Miami establish the run, and I want to see Miami play less of a sloppy game when it comes to penalties.
No doubt. Alex Dono joins us. Locked On Canes does a tremendous job. And what's been the feedback, you know, because you get an opportunity to interact with fans more so than a lot of people. What has been the feedback of the fans? Because, I mean, we know fans are fans, but there's some really good fans that you have and good rational fans who listen to your and watch your podcast on a daily basis. What has been some of the feedback?
I mean, I think we have a really good mix of rational and not so rational, which is like fine, man. I like to make my comment sections a safe space, right? If you want to complain and vent, right, like right. You know, who am I to judge? You know, I think people need to understand something, Blue. In this era of college football, undefeated seasons are tougher than ever. Like the margin for error has shrunk so much. The parity has increased in the NIL era. I mean, you think about some patterns the last couple of years. Okay, Miami just got upset at home by Louisville. Same thing happened to Clemson last year. Clemson got upset at home against Louisville. They went on to win the ACC, Clemson did. They got into the college football playoff. You know, Notre Dame last year, they lost to Northern Illinois. They didn't let that define their season. They went on, they got the national championship game. The team that won the national championship last year, Ohio State, lost two games, and they came in fourth place in their conference, and they won a national title. So what I'm saying here is, like, people need to understand, and a lot of Miami fans do, I can understand being nervous because we watched this team for the last 20 years. We know that sometimes a loss can turn into a spiral. I mean, which is kind of what's happening right now to Florida State. They lost a game, turned into a four-game losing streak, right? Miami fans are afraid that that might happen to us because we've seen it happen to us before. But understand, this team has everything to play for, and if they can win out, and they're going to be favored in all the rest of their games. There's some tough games in there. But if Miami wins out, they're not going to keep Miami out of the playoff. In fact, Miami might not even get to the ACC championship game but could still get into the 12-team CFP at 11-1 at the end of the year. And then, of course, there are some fans, as I hinted at. And listen, man, I understand. We've all been watching this team for the last 20 years who are like, you know what? This is who Miami is. This is who Coach Cristobal is. We're going to lose two or three more games this year. This is a sign of things to come. Bottom line, Blue, the team has to respond. Whether you're the type of fan, and I'm not talking to you, Blue, I'm talking to everybody listening. Whether you're the type of fan who is glass half empty or glass half full, it is up to these Miami Hurricanes to block out the noise, to fix the issues on tape that they showed this past week, to be sharper, to not be complacent for the rest of the year, because they still have everything to play for over these final six regular season games.
I agree with you. And imagine week one in Tuscaloosa, what that radio show was all about when they lost to FSU. So I think if you're a Miami fan, let's use that as a measuring stick, because right now Alabama arguably is playing as well as anybody in the country. And Miami can do the same thing again. Alex, let everybody know how they can reach you, because they want to reach out to you at all times.
Thank you, Blue, for having me. Thanks, Trevor. You guys can find me on X, formerly Twitter, at Alex Dono, and you can find me every day on Locked On Canes. We host the show every single day, sometimes twice a day if breaking news happens. Just search Locked On Canes on YouTube or search for it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It's on the Odyssey app. Wherever you get your pods, you'll find Locked On Canes. And thanks again, Blue. I always love chopping it up with you.
You too, man. We'll talk to you later. We'll see you on Saturday. That's Alex Dono. Great job. Nobody has more passion, and nobody's more objective than Alex as well. You know, I mean, being a Miami fan and have gone to school there, he is also objective. He calls it how it is, and that's what we love about him. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, talk a little high school football. Coach Darryl Strong from Plantation and Coach Derek Gibson from Miami Central are on deck.
Time for more of the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute.
Larry Bluestein and Trevor Harris, we take you up until 8 o'clock. Thanks so much to Alex Dono for starting hour number two out from Locked On Canes, talking about University of Miami. You miss any of our interviews this evening, just go to WQAM.com, go to the top of the page where it says podcast, and there we are. You'll be able to listen to everybody, including our next guest, who has his Plantation Colonels right in the middle of a really decent playoff run and probably one of the most competitive districts around. Coach Darryl Strong is doing a tremendous job with this football team, and he's kind enough to join us. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. Hey, everybody's in the darn race now, Coach. I mean, this is great. This is what it's all about. We're here on October 20th with 2 weeks left, and we don't know who's going to win the district. We just know that everybody's got a chance to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's good for us, and that's good for the district. I mean, we knew coming in that the district was going to be pretty strong. So, you know, we're gearing up to try to, you know, win this game with First Northern.
What a surprise that Archbishop – a team that you guys battled right down to the end and won would come up with a huge win over Heritage to put them in a situation where they've got to win. They've got to, you know, it's not easy. It's talk about what this team's about, because I saw you earlier this season against Heritage, a tough game in a bad weather that turned out to be not the greatest of games, muddy and terrible conditions. But you guys have really played extremely well over the last couple of weeks, coming up with the big win over Archbishop McCarthy and taking care of business against Ely. Talk about what's been the difference for this team.
Right now, our defense always plays well throughout the season. But offense-wise, we're pretty much clicking on the right cylinders. And obviously the quarterback situation, you know, with Zakari Johnson as QB1 right now, he giving us a chance.
And obviously, I mean, you're getting good line play. When I saw you, I mean, these kids are, I mean, you're defensively, like you said, defensively, you're getting some pretty good play on the defensive side of the ball. Has the offensive line been a surprise? Because I know that you, during the offseason, and I talked to you when you were at FAU that day, and you said there's a couple of things we got to iron out on the offensive line. There's a couple of holes that we got to fill. Have you been able to fill those?
No, we haven't. We just went with the guys that we had. And, in the beginning of the season, it's tough because we had no returning starters. We graduated all five of our starters on the O-line last year. They was all seniors. So right now we're playing with a lot of young guys. And, you know, right now in the beginning of the season, it was rough for them because, you know, it's a new offense. They got to get the jitters out. But right now they're clicking and they're giving us exactly what we want.
Yeah. And you look at this game coming up this week against New Orleans. Obviously a huge game. I mean, because a win will put you right in a position, especially with South Plantation coming in at the end of the year, to win seven games in the regular season. Something that I know that, I mean, because you'd love to get, obviously, that Miramar game, back. That was a close loss. Obviously, West Broward, as we're finding out, a pretty good team. But other than that, in the Heritage game in the second half, I mean, you guys have been in every game. That's got to make you happy, and that's got to make you, confident that what you're building over there is something special, because even though you have your seniors, you got a lot of underclassmen. Talk about the underclassmen, how they've kind of exceeded your expectations.
Yeah, we knew we had last year, because last year we played a lot of underclassmen, a lot of freshmen. That's sophomores now, and they're used to what we're running. So, they've been very big for us. They was big for us last year, so we kind of knew what we had coming in. And then we also got some incoming freshmen like, Jeffrey O'Neill and Jalen Coach, the D-tackle, who's been doing a tremendous job for us. So hats off to those guys. And I told them today, man, y'all got to keep playing and play at the high school level. I try to use Malachi Toney as a role model for them and show them, look what he did his freshman year. And I told him, I said, y'all can do the same thing. So, right. They ran with that.
And you and I talked earlier in the season about the productivity you get in the off season, because you guys do as much as anybody. I mean, you go 7-on-7s, you send the kids to line camps, you take advantage of everything possible. And I know you're a big believer, even when you played, what you put in April and May and June, you kind of get back this time of year. And I think if the kids could see that and buy into that like they have, because there's a lot of reality into it. Talk about that, because I think that if you work hard in the spring and then into the early part of the summer, hit the weights, go to events, compete. By the time the end of October rolls around, there's nothing that's going to be around to surprise you.
Yeah, I tell the kids all the time, especially in the summer, I tell them you win games in the off season. You get bigger, you get faster, you get stronger, especially coming off last year, with our freshmen. I told all those guys, listen, this is what you need to work on. Let's work on it now in the off season. This is where you get better and perfect your craft. And that's what we did. That's why we go to the 707s, even though I hate it. But we go, you know, so we get the timing with the quarterbacks and get everything with the quarterbacks and receivers and defensive wise, you know, you get that 7-on-7 feel, so you get the passing concept down, and that way when we come to the season, it's muscle memory.
Right. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, you have the youth football that plays on the same field as you, that's right next door. How much has that helped? Because I know there's a lot of other schools, you know, a lot of private schools that go in there and kind of try to take their own players and stuff. How have you done as far as getting your youth football, the Wildcats, you know, start coming in as freshmen and at least getting part of your program?
That's kind of been hard because on the youth level now, a lot of the kids, like, we don't get the neighborhood kids. A lot of the kids that plays for Plantation, you know, from all over. So it's like competing, you know, whatever homeschool that the neighborhood that they live in, they go to the homeschool.
Right.
And that they're super good. Obviously, the private schools come and scoop them up. But, you know, we try to, you know, plant that seed. I got a couple of coaches down at Plantation, Wildcats, you know, one of them being my brother and the other one being my O-line coach, Alexander McWhorter. So, you know, we got a couple of coaches playing in the youth football.
Yeah, no doubt. New Orleans this week, Friday night, 7:00, big game, obviously, for this program. Coach, I can't thank you enough for joining us. Congratulations on everything. I know your job's nowhere near finished. You guys have done a tremendous job, and a lot of people have noticed what you guys are doing. You kind of make it a lot easier for the kids, you know, by what you do for them and what you taught them. And having Coach Hepler, you know, there a couple of weeks ago was great. And to see you and him and Coach Davis together was awesome.
Yes, that was big. You know, those guys are my role models. So they kind of make this transition going, you know, coming from an old coordinator to a head coach. Kind of easy. Yeah. So, you know, I lean on those guys for a lot. So,
yeah, no doubt. Best of luck this week, Coach. We'll be watching.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you, Larry.
Good stuff. Coach Darryl Strong, the head coach of Plantation. They got a big one this week. It's a district game against Miami New Orleans, a New Orleans team that just changed coaches today. What? What? Right in the middle of this darn thing, especially after coming up with a huge win the other night against Columbus in the GMAC event. Speaking about that GMAC event, how about that? Miami Northwestern beats Palmetto on Friday. Then on Saturday evening, Miami Central comes from behind to beat undefeated South Ridge, previously undefeated South Ridge. Certainly, it's been a crazy year of football, but it's been a crazy year for the Rockets. They've had more games postponed or lightninged out and had to play 3 in 1 week, but they are right now running on all cylinders, heading into you know, the last couple of games of the season. Certainly first year head coach Derek Gibson knows all about it. He's been there, done that, and certainly has been a huge addition to this staff. He's kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. As you said the other night, nothing's easy. And certainly that team, they could be deemed the cardiac kids because they get themselves 20 in a hole and then come back and win the game. And but at the same time, you got to be darn proud of a lot of those kids that are coming through for you. Talk about this team. This has been a crazy year. You know that. I mean, I don't have to tell you. You and I have been on the phone many a times wondering when you were going to play again. I mean, it's but you're back on the field and certainly looking really, really good. And a game like the other night, that's got to really help you.
It definitely does, Larry. I think we needed a game like that. We started slow. I mean, we started slow on both sides of the football. Even on our special team, we started slow. We couldn't even feel the ball. They were trying to kick it away from forward. So that kind of hurt us, backed us up offensively as well. But when we got rolling, we got rolling. When we had to make the stops, we made the stops. So I'm proud of my guys from coming from behind. And we definitely need a game just like this because we haven't played much, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, Southridge is a good football team. Take nothing away. Coach Sinatus has done a great job with them. You know, they have a lot of talent. Their quarterback is really nice. They do a lot of good things. But you guys kind of answered the bell in the second half. And, you know, you're as you said, you know, people try to keep the ball away from Jalen Ford. I would, too. But unless you can kick the ball out of the end zone, you're going to have to give and take like they did after they scored and they kicked off short. And that gave you a great advantage with a couple minutes
definitely
left.
Did.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what the great thing about having a special teams guy like Ford, who obviously the FIU coaches were there the other day watching because he's going to be headed there next year. The thing that impresses me more and more about your football team is during crunch time, your defensive front seven comes alive. And you got a really good defensive line. I mean, you got a lot of kids that make plays. You got some young kids. You got veterans in there. Talk about that, because you and I talked in your spring game about that defensive line and how they may be the starting point to, you know, kind of making this team a lot better. Have they made this team a lot better, having a front seven like that?
Definitely did. I mean, any great football team, the stars up front, Larry, you know that. Offensive line, defensive line. I mean, if you have them two phases of your team playing good football, man, you usually win a lot of games. So I'm just blessed to have them guys. They definitely can get after the passer, you know, and we just got to just maintain our gap integrity when against the run. But other than that, I'm definitely pleased with them. I'm going to just say them six, seven guys we rotate in, I'm definitely pleased with all them guys.
Yeah, and from a receiving standpoint, I mean, obviously we've seen the great job that that the young man Anthony McQueen has done. I mean, he's a gamer. You know, he'll make a mistake here and there, but he'll come back, and he's got a really good arm, and he's a very intelligent kid. But having receivers like you do, and, you know, I know earlier in the year Dwayne Manor stepped up, and the other night Brian McCoy, who gets kind of lost behind all the defensive backs, who's really, really fast. But you can't say enough about one of your top kids, and I've got to say that, you know, watching this young man who I had an opportunity to watch over at LaSalle last couple years has done a tremendous job for you, and that's your receiver, and he's done a great job as well. Talk about him. I mean, he's headed to Purdue. Brandon Kinsey is just he's a freak of nature. I mean, I think if you put him anywhere on the field, he'd do the job. But talk about what he brings to your team, because he's a good-sized kid. He's an intelligent guy. He's very athletic. Well, and you've been around the game a long time. What does somebody like that do for your team?
I mean, basically brings the toughness at the receiving position. I mean, this kid, he's tough as nails. The one-on-one matchup, I like him, 80-20. There's no 50-50 ball with him. I call it the 80-20 ball. It's can't guard B, and that's what he go by. And he just create mismatches, because most guys they try to put on, either you have to be as big as him, because nobody's really strong as him. So the thing that he brings to the table is the physicality. I mean, if you show me a receiver blocks better than him, man, you got a great one. And I think no receiver in this county does what it does when it comes to blocking. And that's every play. He don't take plays off when it comes to being physical, when it comes to the run game. So I'm loving that he's coming along. Now he's starting to become a leader for this team. And great things is ahead of this young man.
Yeah, no doubt. You take a look at this team, you know, and you say to yourself, hey, listen, we could play with anybody. You showed it against Northwestern. I mean, obviously there's a lot of mistakes in that game that kind of dictated it. But when you take a look at a program with a lot of seniors that you kind of inherited, and that's a good thing, but you have a lot of young guys, Damian Harvey, as we talked about on the line, the Demetrius Ingram kid, they're both sophomores, the Cortavious Lyons, who I think is going to be a major, major star down the road. I mean, those type of guys, Tiari Miller, you know, people that are underclassmen. You got a great kicker in Cole Rodriguez and Ontario, who I watched Thornton earlier in the year. So you've kind of set yourself up not only for this year, but kind of laid down a foundation for the future of this program. Talk about that, because I think that's important as well. Yeah, to have great seniors and senior leadership and senior experience, but also have a lot of young kids that you know that are developing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to just start with the offensive side of the ball, man. Larry, I don't know if you know this. We're probably potentially going to have four returning starters on the offensive line coming next year, and that's really unheard of. I mean, I'm starting a true freshman right now, and that's really unheard of at center right now. So when it comes to, like, these younger guys, they're stepping up and they're playing big for us. You're looking at secondary. We got pretty much the whole secondary coming back except maybe two guys that's leaving. Got some young, good linebackers coming back. So the future is bright at Miami Central right now as far as all the kids that we have returning. But it's going to be a tremendous year, man. I just can't wait to see how these guys develop and see what they can do for us next year as well.
Yeah, no doubt. This year is far from over. Playoffs coming up right around the corner, and certainly a pending rematch against Northwestern. I think, like I said before, winner take all. I think that the winner of Northwestern Central is going to win the entire thing. You guys are just head and shoulders above the rest of the competition. Again, I can't thank you enough for taking time. Appreciate you, man, and doing a great job as usual. Never thought anything less. I knew when you came back that this team wouldn't miss a beat, and you haven't. And we'll catch up with you really soon.
All right, thank you, Blue.
Good stuff. Coach Dark Gibson, one of the great guys. And if you remember when he played at Miami Killian, outstanding athlete. And he's turned into a really, really good head football coach. And I admire what he's done. It's not easy taking over a program like that. I mean, they've been in the mix forever with Roland and Jube. I mean, you know, and now you got somebody like Derek Gibson. He's got a great staff. And, it comes down to a one-game season. It really does. I mean, let's not mince words. Because the winner of them and Northwestern they're going to win state. I don't want to hear Jacksonville Lanes. They don't play anybody. You know, these teams are in the mix every darn game. Let Jacksonville Lanes play against Southridge and play against Northwestern. Yeah, they wouldn't have a zero, you know, in the loss column, believe me. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we wrap it up for a Monday. Coach Miles Russ, head coach at Kaiser University, is next.
Time for more of the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 1043 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute.
Larry Gleason, Trevor Harris, back to wrap things up. Well, it has been a really good show, quick-moving show. Thanks for everybody who has taken part in the show this evening, from Kevin Brockway from the Gainesville Sun. Kevin Burrell talked FIU football. We had Alex Donnell talking about Locked On Canes, the University of Miami playing Stanford this week. A very rare game. Have they played? And they used to play in baseball. Coach Darryl Strong from Plantation, and then we talked about Miami Central football with Coach Derek Gibson. But there's not a program running on all cylinders in this state, and I really mean it, other than Kaiser University. Seahawks are number two in the country. They're undefeated at 6-0, coming off a big win over a rival, St. Thomas University, on last Saturday. And certainly this is a program that is doing a tremendous job. Our good friend Jaden Miller, the running back, has had a great year. Kid that started out at South Dade, went to Southridge, and this is a program that, as I said, is doing a tremendous job. And somebody being right at the helm, he's been there from day one, and certainly knows the climate of this program as well as anybody, is the head coach, Miles Russ. And he's kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. Hope your practice went well today.
Yes. I appreciate it working with us. It definitely went good. Just trying to keep these guys focused. That's all.
Homecoming week, which is great. Yeah. You guys get an opportunity to play this Saturday at 6:00 against Weber International. A little cooler night game, and come into this game at 6-0. Talk about this season, because, you know, when we talked about that opening game against Indiana Wesleyan, and then you had looked ahead, you said, you know what, it's going to be a challenging season. Indiana Wesleyan, one of the top programs, you know, and you went up to Marion, Indiana, and came away with a win. But ever since then, you guys have been putting it on all cylinders. Big win last week against St. Thomas University. Talk about this team and the character of the team.
Yes, I'm so proud of our guys. You know, it's a long season. It's definitely a long season, and it, you know, especially in today's college football, you know, you have a brand new team, and I just so happy and proud of how our guys are coming together with camaraderie, and you know, not just working hard, but everybody being together at the standard that we have for the program, and especially the new guys that are just entering the program. It's like they've been part of it for a couple of years, like our guys that are veterans within it. So, you know, I give so much credit to our assistant coaches and, you know, trainers and the players, because at the end of the day, it's all about the alignment of the program. And, you know, that's is not a coincidence that we've been blessed enough to, you know, be put in a position to do what we've been doing throughout the, you know, these past couple of games, and just trying to get better each week. You know, I love our conference. It prepares us for where we want to get to at the end of the year. You know, going against so many different styles of teams, you know, really gets us ready to go. So, I'm, you know, really happy for our guys. But, you know, my thing right now is just trying to, you know, keep them focused. You know, some of the things that we've been talking about is just a heightened focus, constant communication. And we wanted to have a consistent urgency within everything that we're doing this year.
And no doubt, I mean, obviously, administration of the university has been, you know, front and center with you. Everybody, you know, every home game, they're there. They're promoting, you know, I mean, and that's big. I mean, you're getting a lot of good things done, you know, at the school. Your facility's really nice. They keep making improvements every year. The stadium, you know, continues to take shape. Talk about that, because it's much easier working with somebody from the administration in your corner and knowing that, hey,
Yes, sir. Yeah, no, it definitely helps. You know, one thing that I've learned being part of, you know, College University, you know, honestly, we have some really good things and they're, you know, helping us out. But we always talk about it's not about the building, but the people inside the building. And, you know, I really feel like everybody's on the same page, and we're out to do the same thing. And the alignment that I was just talking about within our program is it goes all the way to the top, to Dr. Kaiser, to, you know, our president, Dr. Vonk, and our athletic director, Chris Swager, and then to the, even the other sports as well. It's a standard that they have set forth for the program. And I've just been blessed to, you know, be a part of it, and been able to continue to try to, you know, hold our own in terms of, you know, not just for our program, but just what they have set aside for the, just the sports programs in general. So it's definitely been fun, but it definitely helps to have people on your side, administration wise, and, you know, those guys make big decisions and gives us in the right spot to succeed. And I'm really happy about that.
No doubt. No doubt. Head coach is Miles Russ from Kaiser University. Seahawks are 6-0, ranked amongst the best teams in the country, as they have for the last 5-6 years. And certainly one of the big things too, and you know as well as I do, getting people on your campus. You guys always have that door open, especially in the off season during the summer, where parents and athletes and coaches are always there. You have something going on. I know Chris Ortiz does a tremendous job in getting a lot of these kids, you know, acclimated on campus, and their parents, you know, on your Friday night events or even your Saturday 7-on-7s, where, you know, it becomes a family thing, where the parents come out, they put their little tents up, they watch, you know, they cheer the kids on. But at the same time, get an opportunity to meet your coaches and meet yourself. And that's important, you know, getting on campus and showing off, you know, your beautiful facilities and having an opportunity for, you know, high school coaches and parents and athletes to actually, you know, sit down and talk to these people and talk to you. And you're always open and you're always, you know, really friendly with all the kids and all the parents and all the coaches. Talk about that, because I, you know, I was just talking about that with Darryl Strong, the head coach of Plantation, and he buys into the fact that what you put in, you know, during April, May, and June pays off this time of year. I know you guys subscribe to that as well.
No, absolutely. That's part of who we are as a program. And it's not a coincidence, you know, the type of kids that we get, and once they get in the program, it's an easier transition, you know, because we do the homework. We recruit. And I know it college football is getting a little different with a lot of NIL and different things like that. But, you know, at our level, we're able to actually recruit these young men and meet them and their families and, you know, evaluate them. And obviously, you know, want to make sure that they'll be a really good fit part of our program. Because, you know, at the end of the day, my main concern is the, you know, our guys in the locker room. So it's up to myself and assistant coaches to make sure we get the right guys to be a part of that locker room and that will be a part of, you know, the standard that we have set. And we really look forward to, you know, seeing these guys in different areas in their lives of getting them out here on 707, having them out here for team camps. Have them come see us during the season so they can evaluate us even more. And a lot of guys are, you know, very surprised at the type of talent that's running around out on that field. Yeah. And they know some of the kids, a lot of the kids, and that helps as well. I tell all the recruits, you know, if you know somebody, talk to the guys that are on the team. You know, I have nothing to hide. You know, I feel like the program has nothing to hide. You know, try to get as much information about us. And I think it helps that everybody, you know, truly understands and knows each other as much as possible. So once they get here, they kind of understand the standard that we have for one another. And it helps with the transition from high school to college.
Yeah, no doubt. This Saturday, October 25th, it's homecoming right there at Kaiser University on their multi-purpose field against Weber International. The game starts at 6 o'clock. Get there a little bit early. Yeah, you can get tickets online as well. And I think it's going to be a really, really good atmosphere as this team looks for its 7th win of the season. Coach, I can't thank you enough. As always, you know, I always love coming up there. It's a great time when I do to see all the guys up there. You guys do a first-class job. And best of luck this week, and we'll run into you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me.
Good stuff. Coach Miles Rust, the head coach at Kaiser University, will bring this show on Monday night to a end, and it has been a really impressive show. If you miss anything, go to WQAM.com. Go to the top of the page where it says podcast, and there we are. As Trevor Harris once again has done a tremendous job. Don't forget, we will be back with you next week on Facebook and on X. We promote all of our guests. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be putting all these interviews up for you. Getting a chance if you missed any of the 7 interviews that we had today. For Trevor Harris, who is always doing me a great service behind his glass, that'll be it. We'll see you. Have a great week.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.